you look at the competition at lock, and then you think of the fact that Ryan Baird had a concussion, then you think of guys like Tom O'Hearn coming through the system, he probably needed to come on and be really explosive and dynamic.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Football Show on Off The Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+, gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along to Wednesday night's football show. Owen and Nathan here with you for the next hour. We're going to be joined by Matt Slater of The Athletic very shortly to look at Saudi Arabia being given the hosting duties for the 2034 World Cup. Confirmed today as well that South America, Spain, Morocco will also be involved in the 2030 bid in a sort of tri-continental approach to proceeding. So Matt Slater coming up a little bit later on. We'll discuss Eileen Gleeson in just a moment. Just to run you through some of the Champions League scorelines, it's AC Milan 1, Red Star Belgrade 0. Arsenal 1-0 up against Monaco. The second half beginning there with Takumi Minamino just coming off the bench for Monaco. Benfica 0, Bologna 0, Borussia Dortmund 0, Barcelona 0. Fine order, 3-1 up against Sparta Prague. There's yet to be a goal in the game between Juventus and Manchester City, and the Stuttgart 1, Young Boys 1. Nathan, the Eileen Gleeson news broke around 10 minutes before we came on air this evening. Hardly a surprise, but still significant that the FAI have moved to make this decision so quickly after last week's disappointment.
I don't think they had much choice but to move quickly, because the seasons move quickly and the women's team are going to be back in action in February in the Nations League. So they couldn't really let this run past Christmas. I think you're right. I think the reaction to the manner of the defeat just over a week ago against Wales was so severe, such a disappointing performance, such a strange effort from a team who had obviously built their reputation on being rock solid, hard to play against, a bloody nightmare to come up against, to being sort of, it felt lacking in discipline, lacking in composure, maybe lacking in organisation, and it was all just that little bit too easy for Wales, and that's always going to come down to the manager. It's a fairly short term in charge, certainly as permanent manager, a year, 12 games. There was the Nations League run as interim manager, but it's sort of all gone by in a flash, and the legacy of it is probably going to be longer than the actual reign itself, because such an enormous setback not to be heading to the European Championship. And you know, my view on contracts will be similar across the men's and women's games, that qualifying for World Cups is a bonus, but qualifying for European Championships is a must. And while the women's team have never done it before, the standards that they set in recent years, and with the addition, it felt, of more quality to replace the aging stars who had given so much but were still around the place, that Ireland should be getting better, if anything. It was a real shock to the system. And yeah, the FAI have, you know, they've been quick off the mark. They've been slow to appoint managers, but they've been, you know, this time quick to get rid.
There is also more to this as well, where Eileen Gleeson, it seems, isn't going to be leaving Irish football.
No. It seems Eileen Gleeson, from what I understand, has a clause in her contract that she will remain an FAI employee. You'll remember she was the head of women's and girls football. And when this time last year we were wondering who that permanent manager would be, she was always in the mix and obviously was in possession, had 6 wins out of six in the Nations League. But the question was, well, would she be willing to give up that permanent full-time job, a hugely influential job, arguably a more important job in the long term, for a job like the one she's just had, where you could find yourself out of it in a year's time, exactly what's happened. So while I think it would be very unusual generally to have this sort of an agreement in place, I think it's totally understandable in the women's game, because quite frankly, there are no other full-time coaching jobs available in the women's game for Eileen Gleeson in this country. So on a purely basic level, and you know, she's not leaving this as a multimillionaire or anything of the like with a great big payoff, you know, she has to go back and live her life, and we'll see what that role ultimately is. Hannah Dingley is the replacement, the current head of women and girls football, and she's working on the new strategy, which is part of Mark Canham's player pathway plan, and that is due to be released early next year, certainly by the end of February, March, and that'll be that next piece in the jigsaw of what the women's game at all levels looks like in Ireland. So that's Hannah Dingley, who's working on that. And she's a permanent FEI employee, so it doesn't look as though she's going to be going anywhere. So if Eileen Gleeson decides she wants to stay, and you know she's not too hurt by the experience here, and she's leaving on reasonable terms with people, they will have to find a role, it seems, for Eileen Gleeson within the organisation, which I don't think is a bad thing. That
no.
You know, she's somebody very, very experienced. They mightn't have the job, but having somebody with that experience creating another role in the women's game, I think can only be a positive. But it is a slight quirk that you usually wouldn't see, but again, just shows the lack of opportunities that are there for female coaches. But I'm sure, listen, it's a huge blow to her personally as well.
Obviously, there was a sense from the players that they really wanted this to work out because they'd have gone to European Championships if they did. But I think that Eileen Gleeson was well got in that dressing room, and I think for her, they wanted this to work out. I think as a country, a lot of people would have wanted the Eileen Gleeson thing to work out, and it hasn't. And like you said,
I think the country is still split on that. When you look at the reaction, like I think there's a real split still on what happened with Vera Powell. And look, that split may well be between people who were close to it and really following it in depth, and maybe had an understanding of what the atmosphere was like around that squad under Vera Powell, and the atmosphere that she created, ultimately one that was successful on the pitch, but you know, it certainly seems quite toxic off it from everything that we've heard. But I think the casual watchers of this team would have looked at what happened to Vera Powell and felt, you know, this shouldn't have been allowed to happen.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have been allowed to step away, and that probably hung over what happened last week as well.
My point is less to do with Vera Powell and Eileen Gleeson taking over. It's entirely to do with the fact that I think Irish football fans would love to see an Irish coach be successful with an Irish team. The only person who is born on this island who has ever qualified an international senior team for a major tournament in men's or women's football is Martin O'Neill. That is the entire list. Every single other person has been born outside of this country. I mean, Mick McCarthy, a proud Irishman, but has come up through a different system. Jack Charlton, an honorary Irishman, very much came up through a different system. Vera Powell came up through a different system. Giovanni Trapattoni came up through a different system. And Martin O'Neill, obviously, was somebody who played in the English ranks. And we don't produce our own coaches. So my point is not to do with Vera Powell being replaced by Eileen Gleeson and what came after the last World Cup. My point is that I think every Irish sports fan would be on board with the idea that if we had a coach that could qualify a national team for a senior major tournament, that would be a good thing. And this has been the latest failing on that.
Absolutely. And I don't know if it'll have a similar impact to, say, Stephen Kenny not succeeding in that role where, for example, it's probably ruled Stephen Bradley out of getting the job in the foreseeable future while he's the Shamrock Rovers manager. Damien Duff is probably in a slightly different level because of what he achieved as a player. I don't know if it doesn't feel like there was too many other contenders locally if Eileen Gleeson wasn't in the mix. You know, Emma Byrne was one of her assistants, you know, somebody I think who was big coaching aspirations, but maybe needs to go and get her own experience as the number one before is in that mix. But you're right. Like it all goes back to the same point. We don't have a football industry in this country. Like we're producing fewer and fewer players. We've never, it seems, created enough coaches for some bizarre reason, even in England.
But let me ask you this question. I mean, Nick has put it simply there that Martin O'Neill came through the IFA. So through the FAI structure, men's or women's, who is the greatest coach who have ever come through the FAI system?
The greatest or the most successful? That's a very good question.
Is it Brian Kerr?
So you're not including Mick McCarthy?
No, because he wasn't FAI produced. He came through
John
the English
Giles
structures.
Also came through the English structures.
You could argue that. I mean, if you're playing as a teenager at Manchester United, again, that's a grey area. You have to consider John Giles
What's your criteria? Give me your exact criteria.
I don't know what the criteria is.
You're right. My point is that there isn't that football industry. There never has been. Some of our leading managers domestically, if they lose their job, don't have anything else to go to. Talk to Vinnie Perth about it. 5 years ago, he's winning a double with Dundalk, and now, you know, he's out of the game. He's in here as a pundit because there's not 50 full-time jobs to fall back on. There's very few jobs that, you know, pay a wage that make it sustainable for people through their lives. And there's not enough money in the game here to make it sustainable. So, yeah, I think Brian Kerr would probably go down as the most successful, Stephen Kenny. But none of them have ever gone... They've gone to the international level. None of them have ever gone from the League of Ireland over to England and then gone and succeeded there.
There has often been this sort of tone maybe around self-produced coaches that the players who have come up through the English system don't quite have the level of respect for the manager. That's never felt the case with Eileen Gleeson at all, by the way. I should state that. It's felt that she was very well liked. The players really loved her and wanted to succeed, as I've mentioned. But it does feel as if because Ireland's best players are always coming up through the system in England, whether it's Katie McCabe or whether it's the whole litany of Irish male footballers, they have had their formative years in England. You can understand why they feel that their coaches should be at that level or have come through a similar system and can be a little bit nonplussed by what Irish football has had to offer in terms of producing its own talent on the sideline as well as on the pitch. I don't know. It's a wider conversation that's when
you talk to Stephen Kenny, I'm sure, you know, he would deny it. I think Brian Kerr would deny it, but I think Kevin Kilbane was on here saying that there would have been players in that Ireland squad who had come in from England that would have looked at Brian and, you know, sort of been, you know, what have you done over here? Mm. Would have looked down because his achievements were in underage football within the Irish league. I don't think that's the case here
at all.
But at the same time, the more successful the players are at club level, Katie McCabe is at one of the more successful teams in England, in Europe, the best of the best, experiencing it every day in training. She's going to want that replicated when she comes here as well. Now, we haven't heard from anybody that that's not the case. So we'll have to see what happens next. Because it's so recent that they've been looking for a manager, you wonder, do they go back to the same pool of contenders that were there 12 months ago when they went through the process for Vera Powell's replacement and ultimately found one right under their nose in Eileen Gleeson.
Who was up for the job at that point?
Well, like names that were in the mix at that stage. Alan Mahon, who's been involved in the women's game in England for a long time. He was at Manchester City on the coaching staff there. Colin Healy was seen as a contender, obviously one of the assistants now for Eileen Gleeson. There was talk at one stage of maybe Colin Bell potentially coming back. You know, he was the manager pre-Vera Powell, left to go over into the men's game with Huddersfield. But again, if none of those managers were the right person a year ago, are they the right person now? And let's be honest, I suspect most people listening are rolling their eyes to heaven when they think about the FAI going on another managerial search. They're not helped. It's coming up to Christmas. You're not going to get anybody until the new year. And as I say, there's a very quick turnaround before the next games start in February. I'm sure they're going to say that they want a new manager in place for those games. And maybe they just need to bite the bullet and get somebody in quickly instead of, even for the reputation of the association and Mark Canham himself. Like, you can't let this drag on till next summer, till the season's over, and you wait and see what's available, as they did with the men's gig.
Yeah, and the similarity with the men's gig is that it was into a season with a European Championships in the middle of the summer. So maybe there was a sense that, God, it's not a massive emergency to appoint a manager right now. Hopefully the same thing doesn't happen with the women's team. 58 minutes on the clock there at the Emirates Stadium. It's still Arsenal 1, Monaco 0. Another decent opportunity for Arsenal, who really could be 4-0 up after the first half. I should say Juventus are 1-0 up against Manchester City. Dusan Vlahovic with the goal in the 53rd minute. So could be another poor result for Manchester City tonight unless they turn that around. Barcelona are 1-0 up in Dortmund. Rafinha with the goal there. AC Milan still 1-0 up against Red Star Belgrade. It's scoreless between Benfica and Bologna. Feyenoord are 3-1 up against Sparta Prague, and Stuttgart are now 2-1 up against bottom of the table Young Boys. This Manchester City situation in Europe is a potentially precarious for them, is it?
Well, they're 22nd in the table. They should be fine. They still have two more games to go, and it does feel as though that sort of bottom 10, 12 teams, there's a lot of bad teams in that. But like, right now, Manchester City cannot buy a result, whatever about their European form. Like, we're sort of just...
general form.
Brushing aside of, they're 1-0 down again. Mm-hmm. Like, this run is not ending. Like, there's just no sign of it ending at all. A draw with Palace at the weekend, like they had that one victory against Nottingham Forest, but that's it for, you know, for months at this stage. You know, right back to the defeat to Spurs in the League Cup at the end of October. Like, we're 6 weeks into this of no form,
yeah,
nothing returning. You sort of, everyone assumed after Forest they'd sort of ease their way back into it and might go on a little bit of a run, put themselves back in contention, may not have enough to go and win the league. But, you know, really poor against Palace at times at the weekend, and now losing again. And we, as you said, we won't know till we have the position of hindsight to look back in this new look Champions League what it all means. Maybe you get lucky with the draw for the playoff round, or maybe you don't. Maybe they're punished properly for this with what they face in the playoff round if they get there.
If they get there, potentially. And just for clarity's sake, they are starting a full strength team, as you'd imagine they would do in Turin. So 1-0 to Juventus, 62 minutes on the clock there.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.